The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
And we are back. Great to have all of you here. And let's check in with Andre, who is up next down in the ATL. Andre, how are you?
Yeah, go ahead, Coach. Coach, listen, you know I love you, man, but you're getting a little soft. You should have slapped Will around. This guy got on national radio and said that the SEC runs through Austin, Texas. He's drunk and insane at the same time. Listen, the SEC championship game will still be played right here in Atlanta. Hey, this guy acts like the SEC came to Texas crawling and begging. I understand it's a great state with a great history, and the football team has a great history, but that's past tense, Coach. But ain't no way in the world that the SEC runs through Austin. This is the kind of stuff.
You know, Andre, I have to fight back here a little bit. I mean, I don't mind you calling me soft, but I mean, I just don't think you understand how great Texas is. And
listen, Coach. Listen now.
Just for your edification, my wife and I, we binged all weekend on Matthew McConaughey movies, and they're all the best. I mean, I've never seen a better actor, and you know, we have just adopted a Longhorn named Bevo that we keep parked at our ranch, and we're vacationing this year in Austin, and we're going to South by Southwest next year, and. And I don't know what you're talking about, man.
Coach, listen. This is the kind of stuff that they got away with in the Big 12. It won't work in the SEC, just like this stuff that Notre Dame gets away with down in the ACC, one foot in and one foot out. It doesn't roll like that. This is big boy ball over here. There are a lot of monsters over here in the SEC. So, hey, Coach, thanks for taking my call and not listening to your comments out there.
You know, Andre, I appreciate it. And I don't know. I'm just entertained by the whole thing right now. I know everybody is taking things literally, but I think it's fairly amusing to listen to that guy, Will, in Austin. I mean, you know, we're trying to learn. I know Austin and Norman and Oklahoma City, they're paying attention to us. They're watching. They're listening. They're trying to find out what this new league's all about. We're trying to do the same thing. And there's only one way to learn, Andre, and that's to listen, not to beat your chest and beat people down before we've had a chance to invite them in for dinner. Let's go to Pat in Georgia next. Pat, thank you for being with us, and you're on the air.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Pat, we're doing great. Thank you.
I don't know about Will. Texas and Oklahoma's media market is the endowment that both those schools bring to the wedding marriage feast right now, and we're really thankful for that. It's not necessarily Texas's football prowess for the last 10 years, but how many affirmative votes do both of those teams need? Is it 10 or 11?
They need 11.
All right. Steve Berkowitz helped me make my point. It's not that the pie is going to be cut into 16 pieces. It's the pie is 30 to 40% larger. So 16 pieces, that's still plenty of money. So I don't understand, you know, let Texas A&M vote no, and then everybody else is going to vote yes. But I don't understand why the Texas A&M president in his right mind would vote no. It's more money for Texas A&M in the long run.
Pat,
do you have a feeling about that?
I don't think anyone's going to vote no myself, unless it's just, you know, preordained that go ahead and vote no. But yeah, there's still not clarity in my mind about what happened last Wednesday with all the noise from College Station. I know what they've said. I've talked to some very prominent officials at A&M, and you know they have a version of the story. The Birmingham has a different version, and we're going to talk to Jackie Sherrill shortly, and I think it will be most interesting to hear from him because he is very tied to that Aggie program.
Absolutely, I'm looking forward to hearing that too. I want their media markets, and hey, with Greg Sankey being the commissioner, Texas will get one good representative seat at the table, just like the other 15 people. On another subject, real quick, are you hearing anything under the radar about what effect the Delta variants may have on college football this fall?
Yes, I have. In fact, I chatted the other day with a renowned epidemiologist, and we did talk to one the other day on the program, and she was a little more cautious, primarily talking about vaccines, Dr. O'Neill. But there is a lot of concern about it, Pat, and I'm not harping on it because I think too many other people are, but I think everybody is very nervous right now.
Well, I heard Dr. O'Neill's, I heard her on your program, and I thought that it was interesting, and that's one of the reasons why I wanted to ask you the question. Greg Sankey navigated us and all of college football through the pandemic last year, and I think he'll do even better job this year, but I just don't think it's not a slam dunk. That Delta variant is just...
The problem, Pat, is you've heard, listen, there's nothing I can say that nobody hasn't heard, but the level of infection is so much more intense. I can't believe I'm about to say this, but it makes last July's COVID seem tame.
Absolutely, it does.
I have a friend who was vaccinated 4 months ago that just tested positive today. And you know that story is reoccurring over and over again.
Yes, and that's that breakthrough, unfortunately. And I hope I don't have a breakthrough. I sure hope I don't. But anyway, I'm ready to get the season started. I just hope we can get it under control and get more people vaccinated. I hope more people want to get vaccinated. I really do.
Thanks, Pat. Appreciate it. Yeah, listen, I still feel very confident about the season. Having spent 4 days in Alabama and last week and from the governor on down, it's a big story there. It's a big story in Arkansas. It's a big story in Louisiana. It's a big story everywhere. But I still feel like we're in a much different position this year than we were last July. It was around this moment.
Hey, Paul.
It was around this moment last July, Pat, that we didn't think we'd get there.
Hey, yeah. Absolutely. One more thought. What do you think about Governor Kay Ivey? Her statement the other day.
Yeah, I think she's speaking the truth, and I'm glad to hear her say that. I think by now people should have made up their own mind, but she was very frustrated, and maybe she has some remorse about not doing more. I don't know, but her statement got a lot of run. Hey, thanks for the call, Pat. Appreciate it. We're up against a break. Jackie Sherrill will join us in a minute. Former AD, former athletic director at Texas A&M, former Mississippi State and Pittsburgh coach, played at Alabama, and he'll be with us next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We are back and really looking forward to this next guest. He is Jackie Sherrill, the legendary coach from Pittsburgh and Texas A&M, Mississippi State. He was also the athletic director at Texas A&M and understands the intricacies of the rivalry at Texas as well as anyone. He's very closely involved in the Texas A&M structure and hierarchy. And we're going to talk to him in just a minute. A couple of things that we want to pass along. Bob Stoops has made his first public comments since his university asked for membership in the SEC, essentially saying that he agrees with that. And Bob Stoops now, of course, a Fox analyst after he retired from Oklahoma. So let me welcome in Coach Jackie Sherrill to our program. Really eager to say hello. Coach, thanks so much for joining us. Great to have you on. How are you? And we can't wait to get your take on what's going on.
Well, I appreciate that, Paul. I'm glad to take a break because my wife's got me with chainsaw moving stuff, clearing out a warehouse. So I'm glad to take a break.
Well, I'm glad that we got you because I think more than anyone, I want to hear you because I've been with you countless times in College Station. I know what the administration thinks of you and how they rely on you for advice, especially when it comes to matters with the SEC. Can you try to explain to all of us why there was such unhappiness from College Station last week when this story broke?
Well, Paul, you got to go back, all the way back, to Lost Dodge at Texas. They were trying to facilitate the Pac-12, back then Pac-10, to bring Oklahoma State, Oklahoma, Texas, Texas A&M, Texas Tech, Colorado to create a 16-team conference. And in that, to doing that, and this is just my speculation because I can't speak for DeLoss Dodge, but that's when they had just signed their ESPN $15 million contract. So DeLoss was trying to put this together and still keep the Longhorn Network. When the Pac-12 now presidents, they finally said no. Well, Coach Stallings, which was on the board at Texas A&M, he put his foot down in the meetings and said, you know, we're not anybody's stepchild. That, you know, we will make our own decisions. So that kind of put that to rest, especially when Texas could not have the Texas network to go to the Pac-12. So fast forward, A&M certainly approached the SEC. That conversation is back and forth with some board members, the AD, the president, Dr. Lofton, and they actually met New Orleans and made the deal in New Orleans. And that's how A&M went into the SEC. You know, fast forward right now, and Paul, in 1989, I did a TV show in Houston on Fox. I drew the map of the country and said at that time we'll have four major conferences with 16 to 20 teams in each conference. Well, that didn't go over very well with, you know, a lot of people. And same thing when I said that the old Southwest Conference was not going to survive. Again, headline soothsayers. But so fast forward where we are today, there's no question that Texas has worked very, very hard to try to position themselves. And, you know, you can't take that away from them. You have to give them credit. But so when it all came out, that Texas and Oklahoma, because I don't think the SEC would just take one team. So when they said, we'll bring Oklahoma, then that gets your attention, and it should. So when you look at all where we are today and why A&M is in position, because in the meeting in New Orleans, when they were working out the deal with Commissioner Shlive, there was a gentleman's agreement. And I wasn't there, so I can't tell you, but, you know, I've had people that were there tell me that there was a gentleman's agreement that they would be the only team in Texas.
Well, Coach, I understand that, and I was talking to some of those people, as you know, and there's certainly reason to be frustrated with what was then, but today it is different. You would agree, and I'm particularly interested, knowing the particulars, the president, of course, the chancellor, John Sharp, and many others. Do you think A&M will go along with this and vote to include Texas and Oklahoma when this president's meeting convenes?
Well, I can't speak for Chancellor Sharp or President Banks or, you know, to Ross Bork, the AD. I can't speak for them, but I will say that, you know, Commissioner Sankey has to smooth the feelings there somehow. And, you know, we all know that bringing Oklahoma and Texas, what it would do for the SEC, what it would do to have that package together for ESPN. You know, Forbes did the top 25 teams in 2018. Texas A&M is one. Texas is number two. Alabama is number four. But 10 out of the 25 teams at the present time all were from the SEC. So almost half of the 25 teams. Now, if you put Texas, Oklahoma, that would mean 12 out of the 25 teams in the country by Forbes that were in the SEC. So you would have to say that they would be the most powerful league, period.
Coach, let me get to a part of this equation we really haven't spent any time on. You know, you've been a head coach at a number of places and an assistant and have coached at the highest levels. But you also were the coach at Mississippi State. I think you beat Texas your first time out. So you know what it's like to slay the Giants. But what's going to happen 5, 10 years from now in this league when it all settles And, you know, we know who's going to be competing in the upper echelon, but what about everyone else on the football field? How does this move affect the rest of the SEC on the field?
Well, right. I mean, when you say Alabama, Georgia, LSU, Auburn, Florida, Texas A&M, then can the others stay in that position if you bring in Oklahoma and Texas? So, you know, even if they split both sides to 8-8, and that was the original. The original with Commissioner Kramer, that you would have 16 teams, 8-8, play 8 in the West, 8 in the East, and have the championship game as it is now in the SEC. However, when you do this, then there's got to be two teams that would go to the East, and those two teams likely would be Alabama and Auburn. So if you do that, will Alabama and Auburn be willing to play Georgia, Florida, Tennessee every year in their conference? So however you move this around, there will be people that will add losses to their season and go down. Now, you can't debate what Oklahoma and Texas, and if they go to the SEC, then Oklahoma and Texas certainly will take teams away from LSU, from Alabama, from Mississippi and Mississippi State that come into Texas and recruit. So on that hand, it's going to force those teams to lose recruits, and they'll either be split between Texas and Texas A&M. The biggest plus in this whole scenario will be two things. Texas, it will help Texas get out of the depths, and it will help the SEC to be the mega conference and have the most, you know, conference payout of any conference in the country. But, you know, Paul, we know the world changed, and, you know, can anybody stop it? I don't know if that's possible. However, you know, in politics in Oklahoma, in politics in Texas, there's already legislation being brought before the House to block Texas. So those hurdles, I mean, it's not as easy as everybody in the country thinks it's going to be.
And finally, the A&M card, in terms of the anxiety or the angst that you mentioned a minute ago, do you think that can be smoothed over? Because sometimes these things do fester.
Well, again, you know, that's between the Commissioner Sankey and you know, the upper level management at Texas A&M. You know, Paul, you know me. I would play Texas in a parking lot. I don't care.
Of course.
You know, but that's just me. But, you know, I can and I do see A&M side, when you have the conference commissioner make a gentleman's agreement, that you think that that's how it's going to be. You know, because A&M took a lot of flack. A&M took a lot of misery by going to pulling out of the Big 12 and going to the SEC. You know, and they had to live with 2 or 3 years of, you know, not everybody, but a lot of people saying you made a mistake, you're going, you can't survive, you can't do this in the SEC. Well, we all know that that's not true, because the last I looked, A&M's surviving pretty good, not only financially, but also surviving very well, you know, W's and L's.
Finally, Coach, we had a call a minute ago from a guy named Will in Austin, Texas, and I even hate to bring this up because you dealt with these guys every year, but we're just getting to know Texas a little bit better. He said basically the SEC will now run through Austin, Texas. So somebody who competed against them, can you explain the attitude of Texas to the rest of us neophytes?
Well, when I came into A&M 1982, it was Texas and then Texas, but it goes a lot deeper than that. It goes all the way back to 1922 with the Puff Fund from West Texas of the oil. They gave the Puff Fund to Texas A&M, but they gave Texas two-thirds, A&M one-third, because of the size of the two schools. Well, fast forward, A&M has passed all that. A&M today, it goes back and forth between A&M and the University Central Florida, of who has the largest enrollment. But, you know, the endowment-wise, A&M will never catch Texas because of the oil money, which is called the Puff Fund, two-thirds going to Texas, one-third going to A&M. But in all other aspects, A&M has certainly caught Texas. And it no longer is A&M Texas' little brother. So, you know, there's tons of years of animosity that has been built up. And does the A&M family, I'm talking about the former students, do they want to help Texas? Hell no. does Texas want to help A&M? Hell no. So, you know, what he said was true, because Texas forced Nebraska out because they were taking the most share of the television package, and rightfully, I mean, in their mind, rightfully so, because they were on television more. They would bring more money into the television package. But I learned a long time ago in 1982, as Cliff Spiegel, which was the commissioner of the old Southwest Conference, in 1982, I said, why do we have SMU and Rice in our conference? Because they're not adding anything to our conference financially. He looked me right square in the eye and he says, Jackie, those are W's. they earned the right to be here. So when we look at Vanderbilt, we look at some of the other teams in the SEC, you know, over the years, they've earned the right. But the biggest thing in the SEC, there's only four universities that are members of the AAU. And that's extremely important. When you talk about the prestige to the presidents around the world, around the U.S., you know, the Big Ten has, you know, probably 10 out of 12. I would say the Pac-10, 12 has 9. But there's not that many, and Texas is a member of the AAU. Oklahoma is not.
Right. Coach, I need to leave it here because I forgot all about the break that we never took because I was so riveted to what you had to say. Come back. We have to talk to you again about this. Nobody better to lead us through this new acquisition than Coach Jackie Sherrill. We're heading to a break. Thank you, Coach. Really appreciate it so much. We have 2 more hours to go, and we hope you'll stick around.